All right, guys, let's pray. Bow your hearts, bow your heads. It's time for God's word. Father, we love you. God, I thank you for your love tonight. Reveal yourself in a special way in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Tonight, we start our series called My Name Is. And God has a name and an identity that he wants to place in your life tonight by reaching you with his love. Real Life is an acronym. We're going to explain our core values as a student ministry, but tonight I've come to say God is not rebranding our student ministry, but he does want to give us a new identity. There's people in this room that you have been labeled, you've been branded, and God wants to change your identity tonight. Identity is defined like this. It's defined as the distinguishing character, personality of an individual. Identity is also defined as the fact of being who or what a person is. For example, some of us are athletes, right? Some of us are book smart. Some of us are street smart. Some of us are extroverts. Some of us are introverts. Some of us are proud of who we are. And others of us want more than anything to be someone else. And the world around us is going to try. We had just a couple days of school. I know, Teen Challenge, you've been in school for a long time. I know. But the rest of us have been in school for maybe a day, some of us a couple more. But this world around us is going to try and define our identity by placing labels on us that may not be who God created us to be. If you're a student in high school, you realize it is hard. Can I get a witness? People are trying to tell you how to live, how to act, how to dress. They're trying to put their labels on you. Amen? Come on, y'all preach with me tonight. That process has already begun just in your first day. But identity is how we define ourselves. You are a people person. That some of us in this room, people just love being around you. Some of us think you're ugly. That's not true. You are beautiful. You're fearfully and wonderfully made in the name of Jesus. Some of us feel that our identity is that we're weird, right? Some of us feel your identity is in Fortnite. You're a gamer. You're depressed. You label yourself as I'm depressed. You're an athlete. You're lonely. You're a loser. You're a failure. Or you think you're popular. Maybe you're the only one, but you're a natural leader, or maybe you'd think you're attractive. Praise God. I think somebody is going to think so. Somebody's going to believe that. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be in this series called My Name Is. And we've got a powerful identity as individuals, and we have a God-given identity as a student ministry here at Real Life. And our name points to our core values as a student ministry. It identifies who we are and what we are becoming. And some of you know our mantra, some of you don't. And so we are going to go for the next couple of weeks through our mantra. Real Life is this acronym, and it stands that we have been reached by the love of Jesus. We engage in Christian community. We advance in our faith so that we can lead others to Jesus. Praise the Lord. And as we start this new season and this new school year, we find value in the identity God has placed in us in this ministry. And tonight I want to help us realize that names have power. Names have power, and names identify who you are, but names also prophesy who you are to become. Names are a prophetic tool to prophesy what's going to happen in your future. All names have meaning. I didn't know if you knew this, but all names have power. Labels try to define us, but names prophesy to our future. I thought I would pull just a few names from our student body tonight. I might do this every single week for the next couple weeks, but I wanted to pull a few names from our student body to show you how there's more to a name than just a pretty sound as it comes out of our mouth in conversation. For example, we've got a couple lilies in the room. Can we get a shout out for lilies? Lily, you know, that's a beautiful name. It's easy to say. It's fun to say. Lily, Liliana, whatever you want to go by. It's fun to say, but there is power in your name, lilies. I know there's two of you at least in the room. Did you know that lily means a symbol of innocence and purity and beauty? That's the literal meaning of your name, Lily. It means you are to be a symbol of innocence and beauty. You're to be an example to the ladies around you. There is a prophetic anointing on the meaning behind your name. Aiden's really cool. He was one of the main roles in Sleepwalkers up here. He prayed for offering. He's a stud. He is incredible. I'm so proud of Aiden. In Jamaica, we gave him the nickname Swaden because he had a do-rag that was suede, and it was pretty cool. It was blue, Swaden. Aiden, you know, it's unique. I've never met another Aiden in my life. But Aiden, I want to tell you that your name means fire or flame. That means when you walk into a room, you light the place up, man. You are to be a fire that cannot be stopped. That is a prophetic anointing in your name. Zoe, I've never met another Zoe except for on Elf, right? Zoe Deschanel. Sorry, this is bad dad jokes all night, folks. Zoe, your name means life. You bring life. Every time I see you walk into the room, it makes the room come to life. Your very name is an anointing that is prophetically speaking to your future. Names have power. See, Jubilee and I, we intentionally named our children. We intentionally did it because we recognized how powerful a name can be. And our children's names, they're all three Greek names. Damien means to tame or to subdue. It means to stop or prevent someone from going in the wrong direction. And if you've ever been around my son when he is anywhere near Sophia, you can see he lives up to his name all the time because he is constantly stopping her from getting in trouble. She is a troublemaker sometimes, not all the time. She's a princess too, but she does like to go by her own rules. And Damien stops her all the time. Sophia is our daughter, and she's my princess. She is the second most beautiful girl on the face of this planet next to my smoking hot wife, Jubilee. And Sophia, her name literally means wisdom. And her name is a prophetic anointing on her life. And she is the smartest little 7-year-old I have ever met in my life. And I'm not just being biased because I'm her daddy. Lucas is in the room tonight. Lucas is my youngest son right there on the front, and his name literally means bringer of light. And every single time you see that little smile on his face, man, it just brings light to every person who could see it. He literally lives out the prophetic meaning of his name. Names have power. Guys, my name is Jonathan, and in high school, my friends gave me a new name. In high school, they shortened it, right? They called me John, right? John. Okay, high school, people do that. And they shortened my name. I don't know about your mama, but my mama was not okay with that. My mama was like, every time my friends would call me John, she would like, on the inside, and she'd get this look on her face like, and it was just this weird situation where I tried to keep my friends away from her because every time, John, that's not his name. John, hey, John, that is not his name. Hey, John, that is not for the fifth time, lady. I know his name's Jonathan, but we call him John. No, that's not his name. That's my mom. And she didn't want anybody putting a label on me. And at the time, I didn't see it as a big deal as a student. I thought logically, right? You know, Jonathan, it's three syllables, so it's hard. Hey, what's up, Jonathan, right? Or it's like, what up, John? It's simple. It's quick. Let's do this. All right. Cool. Call me John. Whatever. That was my mantra, my mindset. And I got to the point where I would introduce myself as John. And every time my mom would correct me, every time. I don't know if your mom does that, but my mom did. And it wasn't just a small correction either. It was, that is not what I named you, son. I spent 27 hours in labor. You were a breech baby. We could have called you Butthead, but we didn't. We named you Jonathan, so by God, people are going to call you Jonathan, right? That's what it was. And every time I would think to myself, here we go again, right? And then I realized something. I Googled the meaning of John. And I'm sorry if this is your name in the room, but the first definition that it pulls up on Google, I swear to the Lord Almighty, it says two definitions. The first is a toilet. The second definition is a prostitute's client. Neither of which do I want to be associated with. That is not the prophetic name that I want to apply to my personal life. I don't know about you, but God can redeem all things if your name is John. So you are not forsaken if that is you. But my name is Jonathan, praise the Lord. My mom would tell me I named you Jonathan, and Jonathan means God's gracious gift. Praise the Lord. And I didn't realize the power that was in my name. For the longest time, I fought my mom and said, it doesn't matter, Mom, it's just an abbreviation. And I now realize that what I was doing was allowing the world around me to define who I was, and I was rejecting the identity that God had given me. And we do that all the time. Tonight, I hope God can help us understand that when we accept an identity that is given to us by anyone but our Creator, we will begin to live a life that is less than what we were created for. If we accept a label or a name or an identity that is given to us by anyone but God, we'll end up living a life that is less than what we were created for. There are a lot of identity changes we can see in God's word where God gave people new purpose and a new name. Tonight, I believe God wants to change some of our names so that we can start living for the purposes he created us for. Jacob had his name changed. If your name's Jacob, once again, I'm sorry, because your name means deceiver. Your name means heel planter or your usurper. And God changed his name to Israel when he wrestled with God and refused to let go until he was blessed. Judas had a label of being a disciple of Jesus, and with a single kiss, he became the one who betrayed God. David had the label of being a man after God's own heart, despite all of his failure and imperfection. God changed Abram's name, which meant father, to Abraham, which means the father of many nations, when God gave him a promise that his descendants would be more numerous than the stars in the sky or the sand on the shore. Saul, who we're going to look at tonight, the Pharisee, hated Christianity. And God met him on the road to Damascus and changed his identity. And he became that situation, it was an encounter with the love of Jesus that changed him into the Apostle Paul, which is a world-renowned name to this day. And tonight we're focusing on how we have been reached by the love of Jesus. That's a part of our name, Real Life. We are reached by the love of Jesus. We live in a culture that is to the point where many of us only want God involved in our lives when we invite him. That's the culture we're in. We keep God at a distance and only bring him close when it's convenient. That's what happens a lot of times in our culture. But can I tell you tonight that God's love is always reaching out to you whether you want him to or not? God's love is consistent and constantly reaching out to you whether you recognize it or not. Sometimes when God steps in and reaches into our lives with his love, it gets uncomfortable. Amen? But here's what we need to remember. James 1:17 helps us realize that everything good we have in this life comes from God. So you might not even realize that it's the hand of God reaching with his love into your life. But if something good is happening in your life, it's because God's doing it, whether you invited him to or not. Amen? God's word tonight wants to show us that if you are not secure in your identity, or if you are not becoming the type of person you think God has created you to be, then God can change your identity by reaching you with his love. He can change who you are tonight. You don't have to walk out of these doors the same. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to look at this story in Acts chapter 9. It says this, starting in verse 1. It says, meanwhile, while Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, we saw this displayed in the human video, he went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found anyone who belonged to the way, whether men or women, that he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus, man, God got tough. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Saul fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, who you're persecuting," he replied. "Now get up, go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." And then the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. Just imagine being a traveler with Saul. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. He was blind. So they led him by his hand to Damascus. And for 3 days, he was blind. He didn't eat or drink anything. Can you imagine that? God reaching so powerfully into your life that it knocks you off of your horse and blinds you. Man, what an in-your-face encounter with the love and power of God. Saul was leading his life straight to hell, real life. He was heading in the wrong direction, and he found himself reached by the love of God. He didn't invite God to interrupt his plans. There was no indication that Saul was looking for a change. But God reached with his love anyway. That's good news tonight. Amen? Man, if your life is not headed in the right direction, man, I've got some good news for you tonight. Real life, in Saul's story, God wants us to realize that it's hurting people who become the target of God's love. It is hurting people that become the target of God's love. If you feel broken, I've got great news for you tonight. Man, if you're brokenhearted, Psalm 34:18 promises you and promises me that the Lord is close to those who are brokenhearted. Saul was in a bad place. He was in a dark place. Some of us are no different tonight. I'm confident that Saul was hurting because here's the deal. Hurt people hurt people. And that's exactly what Saul was doing. He was literally the cause of fear in those who followed Jesus. He stood by and endorsed Christians to be stoned to death. He turned believers in to have them tortured and burned at the stake. He was a murderer. He was a zealot. He was passionate about what he believed in, and he was passionately wrong, real life. Passionately wrong. I love you, and we love you here at Real Life, but some of you are passionately wrong about the lifestyle choices that are shaping your current identity. Some of you are wrong, and like Saul, you're passionately wrong. You think what you're doing is perfect, and it's good, and it's leading you in the right direction, but guess what? The love of God wants to reach down and snatch you out of some things tonight. Saul was on his way to defy God. Saul was on his way to prevent the church from advancing. Saul was in the middle of his sin, and that is exactly when the love of Jesus reached into his life and transformed absolutely everything. We need a new perspective of what being reached by the love of Jesus looks like. God knocked Saul off of his horse. God blinded him. He stopped him in his tracks. He disabled him from doing any more harm to his own life and to the lives around him. Man, this is such a profound statement. I want you to think about this for a moment. I want you to think, sometimes God preventing our self-destructive behavior is more loving than cleaning up a mess. Oh, it's quiet. That's where somebody should say amen. Sometimes getting caught is God's grace. Sometimes getting busted is the Lord preventing from having months of rehab. Praise Jesus, Teen Challenge. Man, it is a lot easier for God to prevent you from doing something wrong than to correct you and clean up the pieces when it's already been done. Saul was on his way to Damascus, and God showed up in a bright light, and Saul and the people he was with had no idea what was happening. They had no clue, and many times God is reaching out with his love to us, trying to prevent us, trying to stop opportunities that will harm us and stop us from our own self-destruction, and we don't even understand the source of where it's coming from, just like Saul. But it's the love of God that stops us. Saul heard God's voice, and he said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting." Guys, I don't know if this may be you, but guys, when something happens and you have to stop dating the person who is leading you in compromise and sexual sin, the love of Jesus is actually reaching into your life, even though it breaks your heart. Guys, when your leader or pastor or your parent, man, they tell you to delete an app because it's toxic. Man, that is the love of Jesus reaching into your life to protect your identity. When your dealer gets arrested and people start watching you like a hawk, it's the love of Jesus reaching into your life because you are made for so much more than a quick high. Man, when you're forced to walk away or quit the great paying job because it's an unhealthy environment, that is God reaching into your life because what good is it for a man to gain the whole world but lose your soul? Man, when your parents enroll you at a different high school your senior year and you weren't even expecting it, that's the love of God reaching into your everyday life because he knows your future is on the line. And he'd rather prevent you from self-destruction than clean up a mess. Man, many times God would rather prevent the mess than pick up all the pieces. I think it's important we see tonight the love of Jesus is reaching out to those who are in a dark place. That's where the love of Jesus focuses in. When you're in a dark place, Jesus loves you. When you're in a dark place, the love of God is focused on you. He left the 99 to go after the one. We sing it, but do we believe it? God's love is for you, not against you. You may be turning your back on him. You may be spitting in his face. You may be in direct rebellion, but God's love is focused on you, even in your darkness. That's good preaching. Somebody needs to be excited about that. His love is reaching out to sinners just as much as it is reaching out to saints. I know that's hard for a bunch of church kids. Some of y'all have been born and bred in this church. And you think that you should be the object of his affection. And guess what? You are. As believers, we have the promise that if we draw near to God, guess what? He's going to draw near to us. Praise Jesus. So you stay faithful in church. God will stay faithful to you. You are in this place. He is in you. He's for you. He's with you. You are blessed and highly favored if you're a Jesus-following, church-going saint. Praise God. But guess what else the Bible says? In Luke 19:10, Jesus said, I have come to seek and save that which is lost. I've come to focus in on the darkness. In Mark 2:17, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've come not to call the righteous, but sinners. See, when God reaches in with his love, he's more times than not, he's reaching into the darkness. Man, this is why reach is one of our core values at this student ministry. And for this reason, every time we come together as a ministry, we will give an opportunity for those who are far from God to receive his grace. In fact, we're going to emphasize it because the people who need Jesus most need to know how great and how deep and how wide the love of God is for them. Amen. This will always be a place of love, acceptance, and forgiveness. It doesn't matter how far you run from God. He still loves you. And his love and affection is for you. Guys, this ministry and this church is here to help us understand that if we are not intentionally reaching with the love of Jesus to people who are far from God, we are not being like Christ. Because on the way to Damascus, that's when Jesus showed up. Paul was going to kill people, and that's where Jesus showed up. On the road to Damascus, that's where the love of Jesus reached Saul. The love of God reached to the most unlikely recipient. Man, God told Saul what to do next, and the behind-the-scenes story of it was happening in the same moment, and God tells a guy named Ananias. He says, "Go, Ananias, go help Saul. Go to Damascus, help Saul." And Ananias does something interesting. He's like, hey, wait a second, God. Did you say Saul? Because homeboy been killing people like me. You want me to go and lay my hands and pray in Jesus' name for a guy who has people burned at the stake who pray in Jesus' name? Are you sure? This is the guy who is directly against everything you stand for, Jesus. Wait a second. Ananias was like, hold up, God. Do you really want me to do this? Because that's not cool. I'm a little scared of that guy. I don't want to go near him. God, he's our enemy. And you want me to go and help? What? Hear this tonight, real life. God chooses to reach us with his love, not because of what we have done, but because what God intends us to be. God reached out with love to Saul, not because of his past, not because of his accomplishments, not because, oh, guess what? He started turning towards God. No, he was far from God. God doesn't reach us with his love because of what we've done, but because of what he had intended us to be from the very beginning we were formed. Man, he loves you because he created you with a purpose, not because of your past. God is about loving people who are unlovable, and so should we. Man, we should be about reaching with the love of Jesus. Saul had done nothing right by God, but Jesus reached out with love because Jesus knew who Saul was created to become. God was not rewarding good behavior. He was not looking at the here and now. He wasn't looking at the circumstances. God was looking at Saul's future. And that's why he reached with love. I want to invite the band to come. Leaders, if you don't mind coming to the front. Stand to your feet as I close tonight. I love you guys, real life. God loves you. And the story, it continues in verse 15. It says this, the Lord responded to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles, to their kings, and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he will have to suffer for my name. And then Ananias went to the house, and he entered it, and placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. The identity that this world had placed on him began to fall, and he could see again. He got up, was baptized, and after taking in some food, Saul regained his strength. Tonight I'm here to tell somebody, I don't know who you are, but no matter where you are or how messed up your life feels, the love of Jesus can reach you and completely change your identity. That can happen in a moment. It happened instantaneously. As soon as Ananias walked in the room and said, Saul, I'm here to pray for you. That's the moment Saul's life changed completely. When you have, when you've been reached by the love of Jesus, it changes everything, real life. It changes the way we think. It changes the way people think about us. It changes your identity. It changes your future. And it can even change your reputation if you'll let it. See, you have a personal responsibility in changing how you identify yourself. But God will take responsibility in changing how the world around you sees you. Saul was feared. Ananias didn't even want to pray for him. But Saul went from being a murderer to becoming a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's all because of the love of Jesus. His actions changed, his heart changed, his name changed. And this is such a cool part in Scripture. It's just a simple, short part of a Scripture. But in Acts chapter 13, verse 9, it says, then Saul, who was also called Paul. So in chapter 9, he's a murderer. But in chapter 13, his name gets changed. Everything changes about him. His identity is different. People begin to call him something else because he's not the same person, because the love of God has reached into his life and transformed him. See, others will begin to notice and see a difference in you and in your everyday life when you've been reached by the love of Jesus. Man, people are going to see. They'll begin, man, praise God, people call me Jonathan now. PJ. But tonight, as we close, I want you to bow your hearts, close your eyes all across this room, making this a holy moment. Some of you in this room, you've been given a label by the pit of hell. And the enemy of your soul has told you you're too dirty, you're too filthy, you've done too many things wrong on purpose. You've turned your back on God too many times for him to love you. I'm telling you tonight, if that's you in this place, and those mental attacks from the pit of hell have been stopping you from realizing the love of God has been reaching out to you this whole time, tonight is your moment. And there are a bunch of Ananiases at this altar tonight, a bunch of disciples here that have been commissioned by God to pray. Some of us have been given labels by people who don't deserve to label us. And the world around us has been trying to place an identity on us that isn't our God-given created purpose. But before we get to that, if you're in this place and you sense the love of Jesus, you're in a dark place, you know you're far from God, you know that the wages of sin is death, but you've been choosing it anyways. And you're here tonight, and this whole night has been set up just for you. Because Jesus loves you. He died for you. He wants to set you free tonight. He wants to change your name. He wants to change your reputation. He wants to turn your life around. He wants to make things right again. He wants to clean all the shame, all the guilt. He wants to remove it from your life. He bore your punishment on Calvary's cross so that you wouldn't have to bear it tonight. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I've just described you, and you'd say, Pastor, man, the love of Jesus has been tugging on my heart all night. I'm in a dark place, but I don't want to be there anymore. Would you just lift up your hand all across this room? I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. You want to accept the love of Jesus. The grace of God is sufficient. He loves you. It's a free gift. You don't have to earn it. You don't deserve it, but he gave it to you for free. Anyone else, don't miss this moment. You're far from God. You're in a dark place, and you sense right now in this moment the love of God is reaching out to you to change who you are and your future right now. Thank you, Jesus, all across this room. Everybody as a real life family, let's pray this loudly and proudly. Dear Jesus, I thank you for reaching out with your love when I don't deserve it. I'm so sorry for running from your love. Forgive me. I'm a sinner. I need you. I can't do this alone. I can't change by myself. But with you, with your love, with your acceptance, with your approval, with your grace, I can do all things through you who gives me strength. So right now, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Take my sin, give me grace, and I'll serve you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can somebody praise the Lord? Come on, somebody praise Jesus. Thank you, God. So all across this room in a state of prayer, we're going to open up these altars, and here's the deal. There are some scales. Some of us are saved, set free, delivered, going to heaven. Jesus has bought your price. He's paid the price for you, and you love him, and you've accepted him, but there has been some identities that have been placed on you that are not from God. There's been some labels that have been placed on your life. There's been some things where you've embraced them as who you are when really God never intended those things to be a part of your life. And tonight I believe that these altars, just like when Ananias walked in and said, hey, I've come to pray for you. And in that moment, the scales, the blinders, the things that Saul didn't even realize were distracting him from his created purpose began to fall in that instant. Guys, it is the beginning of school. And now is the perfect time to get the blinders off and to embrace the true identity that God has called you for. He's called you to be something incredible. He's called you to do something great this school year. He's called you to live by faith. He's called you to walk in strength, not in weakness. So if there's anyone in this room, you're depressed, God wants to give you the joy of the Lord. You're discouraged, God wants to be the lifter of your head. You're lonely, God wants to be closer to you than a brother tonight. Man, there are different labels. I don't know what yours is, but I know the conviction of the Holy Spirit is reaching right now, and God wants to change in many of our lives. So God, we give you these next few moments. God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would begin to draw us, that your love would begin to reach. And God, if there is anything, God, the psalmist said, search our hearts. Oh God, see if there's any offensive way in us and lead us in the way of everlasting. So if that's you, you're going to heaven, but you need a change in your identity. This year, your reputation's going to change. This year, you're going to walk in a different way. This year, you're going to make a declaration that I'm going to be a woman of virtue. I'm going to be a man of integrity. I'm going to be a man with a purpose. God, this is the moment where you are going to take the blinders off and give us a new name. So, Father, have your way in these altars. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, come quick.